All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 68. So, as you guys know, the Last Chance qualifiers ended a couple days ago, and now we're on to probably the biggest event of this year. I mean, for the Olympics, obviously, but Olympic trials. So, a lot of big matches should be going down. Again, nothing's a lock at this level, right? And we've seen it time and time again. We've seen the best guys go down, and we've seen some of the guys that weren't even predicted to make it to the trials win it.
Yeah.
So, no, we just did a separate episode, which uploaded yesterday, I think, if you're seeing this, of 57 kilograms, what our outlook on that is, without Spencer Lee there, who, you know, maybe would have been a lock, maybe not, but he was a favorite if he was healthy. Right, so we're going to get started at 65 kilograms. Out of the Last Chance qualifier, we have Evan Henderson and Mitch McKee. So, interesting enough,
yeah.
Mitch McKee won by tech fall for Pat Lugo to qualify for the Olympic trials. Pat Lugo did not qualify. And the Iowa Hawkeyes do not have a single wrestler in the Olympic trials. And as I've been saying, Penn State wins. Thank you. That's the end of this episode. We'll see you guys again next time. All right, never mind. But 65 kilograms. Who's the favorite? Zane
65?
Rutherford. Zane Rutherford.
Yeah.
Has to be, you know, he's looked good. 6-0 win over Bajang Punya was his best thing so far. You know, it hurts, yeah. But Bajang got him at the Olympics, so don't worry.
Yeah.
I don't really care, but even with that being said, you know, it looks like a Zane versus Yanni rematch is kind of due right here, but who wins that? I think Yanni may have progressed to the point where he will take that match. If
it depends. It's hard because I like them both so much. Yeah,
I know. I think again,
Zane's style clashes horribly with Yanni's because Yanni is so good at those scrambling exchanges. But Zane can score very, very quickly, and his re-attacks are incredible.
And you have to see how close was the match last time, too.
I think 2-1, 3-2. Yeah.
Which is more impressive in your eyes? A tech four of Vladimir Konchegvili or a 6-0 win over Bajang Punya? I would say a 6-0 win. Especially because Konchegvili is at
6-0 win over Bajang.
Yeah, because I would have to say, because Konchegvili hasn't looked the same.
Yeah.
65 as he did at 57. If there's a 57, yeah, of course. I wouldn't give him that. But with all this being said, I think Zane's still going to be the favorite, but I think I may just have to switch over to Yanni for this one. Although I'm probably still rocking. I'm going to be rocking with Zane. I wouldn't be surprised if Yanni wins. I think this may be his time. You know, and if he wins this, I wouldn't be surprised if he just goes and takes the gold because he matches up so well with a lot more of these international guys than anybody else on Team USA does. Right?
Yeah.
Now, who's next in line? James Green? I think he would have to be.
It really says something about the weight class that James Green is kind of like, not an afterthought really, but like a lot of people are kind of set on like, oh, it's Zane Yanni. But
how does James Green match up with Zane Rutherford though? That's an interesting thing.
Pretty poorly.
Pretty poorly. Never mind.
I think Zane's reattacks are too good.
Yeah, James Green's just big body and he can move you.
Yeah, Green's frame is fucking ridiculous. I still can't believe he makes 65. Like,
I don't believe it either.
Yeah, you really think he would have moved up by now? Like, he's got to be cutting.
He has a better chance at 65 than he does at 74.
Yeah.
This isn't just a normal thing. Like, this is the fucking Olympics. This is like, you make the Olympics. For most of the guys, that's literally a lifelong dream. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. Like, you know how you're in high school, most guys don't. 90% of those guys don't even have the potential to compete at the college level. Get to college, D1, 90% of those guys don't have the potential to All-American. 90% of All-Americans don't have the potential to win. You're literally the 1% of the 1% of the 1%.
Yeah.
You know, I think Burrow said this in his podcast with Joe Rogan too. He was like, for 90% of the guys who qualify for the Olympics, winning a medal isn't even an option. They're just there to have fun.
Yeah, to be able to say that you went to the Olympics.
Yeah. That's crazy to say because you think you're at that level, you want to compete like that. But he just said, nah, we're there just sitting there eating McDonald's.
Yeah.
in London.
I mean, he made the Olympic Village sound sweet. Like,
I wish, man. Yeah. That seems kind of dope. I kind of want to see if I can go to the Olympics in 2024 in France, in Paris. But yeah, there's obviously that's a crazy thing to just think about, right? So it's, again, 65. Joey McKenna is not somebody to be overlooked.
Not even.
He beat Yanni last time they wrestled. He's. Mm-hmm. He was robbed in the finals. I don't want to say anything about that because I don't want to get into some bullshit controversy, but he was robbed in the finals.
In the NCAA right? finals?
Yes. We'll talk, that's a conversation for a different day. Or maybe, nah, you know, honestly, that's probably just bias on my part, but Gabe Dean was actually robbed in the finals against Bo Nickel. I will say that 100%. Now, even with all that being said, right, Alec Mantelio didn't qualify for the trials. Who exploded on the scene after beating Jordan Oliver.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Oliver has to go down as again the biggest dark horse in this weight class because if Jordan Oliver catches fire, didn't remember we tech Joey McKenna in under a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Joey, if that J.O. shows up,
Yanni that Jordan Payne, Oliver beats everybody.
James Green. Bajring Punya, whoever the fuck you throw at him, they're done. It's not going to be a fun day for anybody. And, you know, Chance Marstler is going to be a guy to look out for. He beat Alec Pantaleo and he blanked Vincenzo Joseph to make this tournament, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a 74. We got to talk about that next, but.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I'm tripping. Alec Pantaleo was at 74 for last chance. He bumped up to 74.
Oh, really?
Was. Yeah. That's the dumbest thing he could have done. I think he could have won at 65. Pat Lugo didn't make it anywhere. That's even crazier to think about.
Yeah.
You know, where does Mitch McKee and Evan Henderson fall in? Where's Anthony Ashnall fall in now? The fact that a guy like Anthony Ashnall is an afterthought in this weight class says a lot about the depth.
The top five right now at 65 kilos is.
I'm so shocked at how James Green never won a national title. Like, that's just the epitome of guys peaking after college. Just be.
That's how like, it is for some people.
Yeah, that's insane. Nate Jackson, too.
Yeah.
You know, put him in the year again with Drew Foster. He just walks through that. And that's just what that is, right? 65, final pick. I'm. Gonna have to rock with Zane Rutherford. I think he pulls it out in three this time over Yanni. I think it's a little bit closer, but I think Zane's again is always gonna have the mental edge over Yanni and the technical, maybe not the technical edge, but the game plan stand and the match management abilities over Yanni. Again, you've seen like, Yanni's match management is not what it should be at that level.
Yeah. Yanni's it hurts to say because Yanni is genuinely like my favorite wrestler, but I just think Zane's got him figured out.
And you know what's crazy about Penn State could literally take 4 out of 6 weight classes.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 if Kirk pulls something crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, and if Chenzo or Nolf wants to show up, he could be successful. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah,
because Iowa's literally a Pennsylvania team at this point too.
Yeah,
the only difference is one coach can do shit and one can't. But irrelevant. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. It's just my agent for Iowa. Speaking of, I really don't care about you guys or any other teams or any teams to be completely honest. But yeah, 74. If Imar is still competing, it's a 3-man race. If he's not, it's a 2-man race.
Yeah, I think it's looking like it's not happening because, again, just because he's recovering from surgery. Apparently now he's got a kid on the way.
Fuck that kid, bro. Got the Olympic trials. That's more important. you can worry. No, you can worry about that kid afterwards. I don't care.
He's young. He'll be fine in 2024.
He'll be fine, yeah. No, the kid will be fine too. Fuck that. You're telling me you wouldn't leave your wife for like a month, you know, for a couple days to go for the Olympic trials?
Recovering from surgery. The primary thing is the recovery.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like that is like, yeah, I know if it's like I've seen NFL players like they miss a game, right? Missing a game is not the same thing as missing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I remember one of these dudes broke a finger. He's like, you're going to have to either leave the game now in the Super Bowl or we're going to have to cut it off. He said, I have 9 more fingers. I don't know how many more Super Bowls I ever played. They amputated his finger right there and put it back in the glove. I forgot who that was, but that seemed actually. Have you ever seen Wrestling Mindset? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, some of them.
So my football coach in high school actually booked him to talk to our team.
Hmm.
Yeah. Granted, we threw that year. We went 5-5, and our coaches quit after that. But you know, it's cool. Yeah, I know, right? Most teams are happy to have a 5-5 season.
Jesus.
We were defending state champions. Yeah, and our team was like insane. They have like 6 losses and like 57 wins or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's insane, but I do think Jordan Burroughs takes it if Imar's out. I will say that for the sole thing that if you watch all these interviews, Kyle Dake seemed legitimately worried about Jordan Burroughs having that bye to the finals.
Yeah.
Kyle Dake may never has a problem with conditioning, but when he has to wrestle this many matches, that becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Grant's only won before, but or is it a best out of 3 too? With would he have a best out of 3 with Nolf if Nolf makes it there? No, it would have to be one. Yeah, it would have to be one. I'm pretty sure it's one. And Mason Jordan Burroughs, you know, not the freshest Kyle Dake, maybe like 95% at that point. Granted, it's only Jason. I can't even say only Jason Nolf because that's like a whole ass 3-time national champ. But again, it's not the highest of high tier guys, right?
Yeah, Nolf isn't there yet.
I will never pick against Jordan Burroughs if it comes down to a match, but I think Jordan Burroughs has something to prove this match. He wants to go out with a bang in his career. This will be his last run at the Olympics.
Yeah.
There's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't think if this may be Kyle Dake's last run to the trials too. Like he's going to be 31 too. And I think Isaiah Martinez will beat him if it comes to that.
Yeah.
Even that being said, you know, I've said it right now. If Jordan Burroughs makes it, I have him winning gold. I'm not picking it. Those matches are so close to the point where, like, it's winnable for him. It's not like that. Yeah. Again, this is what – there's very few people who end their career off on top and get that fairy tale ending. He just seems like one of them who should. Not that he will or he won't. If you had to pick one person now to get the fairy tale ending to their career, it would have to be Jordan Burroughs.
Well, yeah, of course.
Jordan Burroughs' legacy is going to stand over John Smith, over Bruce Baumgartner.
I don't know about over
not as not as a wrestler, but just like as like a figure of this sport is always going to stand above them because this is like the prime time growing the sport and all stuff like that, and he's done that more than anybody else has, and he's had a world level success in Olympic gold medal. You know.
Yeah.
And that's always going to be said. So I'm going to take Jordan Burroughs there. But if we're hopping into 86, this first thought, David Taylor, easy. After watching what Gabe Dean looks like he's peaking.
Yeah. I think
that may just be a problem.
Nate Jackson, Zahid Valencia, Gabe Dean, Miles Martin. This weight class is
Bo Nickel.
Nuts. And Bo, dude. There is not a match I want to see more than David Taylor and Bo Nickel. I don't think that's close,
I'll be honest. I don't think
it's close. I just think it's interesting. I think it's a fun match to watch. And that's ultimately what we're here for.
Yeah, as much as I love Penn State, I was so happy when Gabe Dean beat Bo Nickel for the sole fact that like that's the last thing that Gabe Dean needed in order to peak for this.
Yeah.
Last ever match, 2-time national champ, going for his third. Bo Nickel beats him by a singular point in the national finals, 4-3. To redeem that loss, it's not even like he needed that win. It mattered for anything. That's just like a huge confidence booster right there.
Mm-hmm.
No, Bo Nickel's one of the hardest guys to wrestle too.
Yeah.
I think Miles Mark. I don't think he's going to do too successful at this, how stacked it feels is. But right. I called AJ Ferrari. I'm going to call Gabe Dean.
I mean, okay. Well, I'm going to do it because I hate it. I have to pick the dude who's probably the favorite to win the bracket just because I still think he's just in his prime. I think he's going to –
I think if either of those two guys wins, I'm okay with it.
Because what makes it so intriguing is that, like, with the Gabe Dean match, it wasn't like, oh, he just wrestled a smart match. That's why it was narrow scoring, which is what he did against Burrows, and I'll fucking stand by that. Against Dean, it was just genuinely narrow, which is
Dean freaky. Versus Taylor?
Yeah, so
I will also say this. I think there's two guys in this weight class that can genuinely out-wrestle and beat David Taylor. Gabe Dean and Zahid Valencia.
Yeah.
Those are the two I can see. If Nate Jackson gets hot, I'm not picking against him. I think David Taylor outclasses everybody else in that weight class. Miles Martin just looks like a terrible match. It's not, there's not that much of a talent gap that was showed that day, but it just, once he starts piling points off top of you, as a guy who likes to attack from space and you don't get to attack from space, you're going to get fucked.
David Taylor just, like, all of his matches, they, like, snowball.
Yeah.
Like, or at least whenever he really starts to open up, the more points he scores, the more points he will start. It's fucking exponential. It's freaky.
And there's just something about Kyle Dake, too. There's a reason I like David Taylor better. I don't know what it is. It's not even because he's at Penn State. Like, I'm a huge fan of Cornell. Dake just gives off that vibe. But, you know, going into this, 97 kilograms. Ben Honus and Braxton Amos. Braxton Amos took second. Won the true second to take second. Tech Scotty Boykin, 10-0. I'm not going to say anything crazy. I don't think Amos gets too far in this bracket. But that's a guy who's never wrestled a college match before.
I think Jaden wins 97. I think it comes down to him and Snyder. Obviously, I know that, like,
Jaden gets the bye to semis. I know that gets the bye to finals.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I don't know. I don't think Jaden's consistency is up there with Snyder.
Because we're looking at two guys to wrestle a very smart match. They both do. But the difference is that Jaden Cox's lateral movement is just so much better. And we've seen it time and time again in wrestling. People who are strong laterally beat people who are strong linearly.
Yeah, and even that being said, Snyder's hand fighting has literally shut Jaden Cox down every single time they've wrestled.
I think whatever
Snyder to Penn State may have just made the difference there.
Yeah, that's probably.
I will take Snyder. I have Snyder in three.
It's gonna be that Penn State.
Yeah, I think whoever scores a takedown will win the series. That a three match series could literally be decided off of one takedown in passivity calls.
That's true.
To make this even more interesting, they both wrestled a 6-1 match with Nate Jackson. I thought Snyder would tech Nate Jackson, to be completely honest.
Nate Jackson's just that goddamn good.
He's just that – he has the frame which challenges both of them. Jaden Cox has not impressed me at 97, I'll be completely honest. He's best in the world at 92. There's no debate about that. No. I think him and Colin Moore are the two best guys in the world in 92. In the world,
that might be the problem. Like, Jaden Cox is a tweener. Like, he's literally
Colin Moore matches up so well against Jaden Cox.
Yeah.
And I have faith that Moore will be Gadsden there. I don't know what to expect from that match. I would not be surprised if Colin Moore comes out and takes him out. Everybody's like, oh, Colin Moore's a bust and shit. No, Colin Moore is a top guy in the world. Like, no matter if you like it or not. And Kyvan Gadsden, one throw, he can stick Jaden Cox. He did it to Kyle Snyder. you know?
Yeah.
And I was looking at a documentary about Costner. I was like, Tom Ryan was like, if you wrestle the match 10 times, Snyder wins 9 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think most people would agree with that, too. You know, I said the same thing about Gwizdowski and Snyder. So one or two mistakes will mean the match, especially for Colin Moore. Colin Moore's not a guy who just held a close match with him. Colin Moore's a guy who almost won that match. It came down to getting written out. You know, and that's where I see problems there. That's why I think that match is going to be challenging for him. Then he has to wrestle Snyder in the best of three. I will take Kyle Snyder in that matchup. I think it's really close, though.
Yeah, I think we literally might just see a three-match series with maybe a total of 10 points scored.
Not even.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't think this is more of a split weight class. I think people aren't jaded because of the hype and everything. But that's an Olympic gold medalist and Olympic bronze medalist.
Well, okay.
And you No, I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying that, like,
at 86,
one of these guys is not going to make the team. One of these guys is not going to make the team.
Yeah.
In an under pressure situation, I'll take Kyle Snyder 100% of the time. With the amount of weight on that match, too. I would take Kyle Snyder every time in that.
I just think
Jaden Cox doesn't have that big move potential against a guy of that caliber.
His mat IQ is just so high.
I don't know about that. You're also comparing him to a world-class talent. You're not comparing him to, like, the average guy. Like, yeah, he teched Ben Honus, beat Nate Jackson 6-1. It's not like he's obliterating guys like that.
You don't got
maybe a 92, which are literally IQ. All backups and bump ups from ASICs who don't want to cut weight. That's essentially what that was. I do think if Jaden Cox was down to 86, he would beat Derek Taylor. It was just the cut. That would have been the smarter choice any day of the week. I would.
Yeah, considering that he also beat David Taylor with a shredded knee.
I mean, David Taylor kind of broke the knee.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But again, you know, it seemed kind of intentional, I'll be honest. But, oh well.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this. Greco at 97. Maybe the smartest call, or maybe the dumbest call I've ever made. Braxton Amos wins it.
Against Hancock?
Yep.
Yeah, that's either... You either just predicted the biggest upset of the trials or...
Nobody gives a shit about Greco. And Hancock throws in big matches. And we've seen it so many times. Amos is probably one of the smartest wrestlers in the country.
Yes, easily.
Literally, he was undersized all of high school, 220. And he still picked apart guys. Hancock's a guy, probably the physically most intimidating guy in the country. You know, at that weight class. You know, I'd be more intimidated by G'Angelo Hancock trying to fight me than Kyle Snyder or Jaden Cox. You know, but again, he has some technical flaws too, and Amos may be the guy to capitalize off of that.
Probably.
You know, we go to 130. I'll talk about that before I want to talk about 125, 130. Kuhn versus Schultz rematch. I don't want to talk too much about this because we'll probably do a whole episode on this and Gwizdowski versus Gable Steveson. Yeah. I do think this one will go to Adam Kuhn. I think Kuhn fell last time, 2016. And this one will just...
Yeah.
I think Schultz will have closed the gap a lot. But again, a one-point match in Greco is not that close all the time.
Yes.
And we see it happen so many times. I do think Kuhn takes it in two, though. I think Schultz can grab a big move, maybe. He sends it into the third, but I don't see him doing more than once. 125, I think the biggest surprise here was Jordan Woodman Strauss. Lost in the round in 16, double A's. Now he's in the Olympic trials. Interesting.
Yeah.
Tanner Hall qualified. I don't think Tanner Hall is going to make it too far just because if he doesn't have the scoring potential.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much just Gable and Gwiz.
Yeah.
Although, who knows what goddamn announcement Gable has tomorrow. Like.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Gable wrestles at the trials. I was probably just messing up shit there. But even that being said,
he's announcing the move down to 97.
Yeah. Kerfley, it's a freestyle guy. If Kerfley meets Paris, I think that's maybe just Kerfley's match of how much better he wrestled at NCAAs versus Big Tens.
Yep.
He gave Gable a better match than Mason Paris did.
Yeah.
Gable also looked tentative to score. I don't even know what that was. And like of like all his matches, except for Cassiope. I don't know what that was, but Don Bradley, Mason Paris, Greg Kerfliet, Gwiz will get the bye to the finals. I don't think Gable gets a bye to the semifinals. He has to wrestle through the whole tournament. If it's the one-day trials, I think I'll have to rock with Gable. He's basically proved me wrong every time, but I think Gwiz, with these scenarios given, Gwizdowski should be the favorite here. Depending on how many matches Gable has to wrestle to get to them. Like, interestingly enough, like, when you talk about it, it's like, on paper, you think it'd be Gable, you know, but Gwiz still leads the series 2-1. It all depends on who's going to make more adjustments. I really don't know what to talk too much about this.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, I think that's really going to be it for this episode. So we'll try. We will get a more in-depth episode for you about Colton Schultz versus Adam Kuhn. And we're also going to get you guys one of Nick Gwizdowski and Gable Stevenson, Mason Paris, Greg Kerfley and Don Bradley, whoever he meets. Because, again, Gable's not really locked. Neither is anybody in that weight class. So, all right. So, again, thank you guys for watching. It's been episode 68 of Late Night Shots Podcast. We'll see you guys again next time.
All right. Peace.